Welcome to the section on treating spleen patterns. And in this part of the course, we'll continue to integrate a meridian-based approach with Zongfu and five elements. To begin, let's go ahead and look at the first slide where we see the spleen connections. These are the meridians that are associated with the spleen according to the five systems. So in system one, in Dr. Richard Tan's method, we find that the spleen connects to the lung. This is the Tai Yin system. In system two, we find that the spleen connects to the small intestine because of the relationship between the Tai Yin and the Tai Yang. And also in terms of physiology, we know that there's some similarity between the small intestine and the spleen. In system three, the spleen connects to the stomach. And in system four, opposite of the clock of the spleen in the Harari cycle is the San Jiao, and next to the spleen on the clock is the heart meridian. So make sure that you have these connections firmly committed to memory, as it will greatly help in all aspects of your diagnosis and treatment. Okay, let's go ahead and take a look at the next page, where if we examine the spleen connections, we find that it connects to all the fire organs. It connects to the small intestine, the heart, the San Jiao, and the pericardium through the extraordinary relationship with PC6 and spleen 4 and the extra meridians of the Chang and the Yin Wei. So this is interesting to note because the correspondence this has with five elements, where the fire engenders the earth and the tendency of the spleen to be in a deficient condition. So if you're used to working with five element formats, then understanding how this connects according to meridian systems is a valuable insight to have. Okay, let's go ahead and look at the stomach connections then. And the stomach connects to only three other meridians. In system one, it connects to the large intestine. This is the yang-ming connection. In system two, the yang-ming is associated with the jue-yin. So we see this correspondence there between the stomach and the pericardium. In system three, the stomach connects to the spleen. In system four, opposite of the clock of the stomach is the pericardium. And next to the stomach on the clock is the large intestine. So the stomach only has three connections. Let's go ahead and take a look at the next slide here. And when we're dealing with spleen and stomach conditions, the most important meridians to work with are obviously the stomach and the spleen themselves, but also the pericardium and the large intestine are important. So when we're doing a meridian-based approach, it can often be helpful just to ask ourselves, okay, this is the situation that the client has. These are their top three health concerns. I see the Zongfu pattern that is present, or perhaps you are doing a method of pattern identification based on the meridian circuits. So you can identify that a client has a Jue Yin Yang Ming pattern, for instance. But another really simple way of assessing how to select meridians is to simply ask ourselves what channel on what limb is the best one to use. So for instance, if we have a condition of spleen qi deficiency with the symptoms that it manifests, we can ask ourselves, well, what is the best hand yin channel to use for this situation, taking into consideration the client's top three concerns and overall symptomatic presentations. So for many cases, on the hand yin channels, the pericardium will be the best meridian to use because of the correspondence with the five elements and the way that PC3 and PC6 can help to harmonize the intestines and the stomach. Now, in some cases, the lung may be the better meridian to use, and this will typically occur when we find a client that has both spleen and lung symptoms manifesting in their top three concerns. So in summary then, we can ask ourselves, what is the best hand yin meridian to use for spleen conditions that we see in clinic? Very similarly, we should ask ourselves, what is the best hand yang meridian to use when we're seeing spleen conditions in clinic? Most of the time, I will be using the large intestine meridian. However, sometimes using the small intestine and San Jiao meridians are important as well, especially if they have symptoms connected to those meridians, or if those meridians may be used in any way to benefit the client and treat their top three concerns. Let's take a look at the next slide here, where we're going to discuss some of Master Tong's points. I like to introduce a few throughout these courses so that you can start to implement those into your clinic. And the first ones here are on the stomach meridian. 77.09 is located half a sun above stomach 38, and 77.10 is one sun distal to stomach 39. So these are in close proximity to points we already know. These points are often used as a pair, as are many in Master Tong's systems, where he will use two or three points that are in close proximity to one another and very often on the same meridian. So this technique of just using two or three points that are in close proximity on the same meridian is very powerful. And a lot of times I'm not necessarily using his points, but I'm doing palpation along the stomach meridian to find where the resistance is at. And if you fine-tune your palpation skills, it becomes very easy to sense and perceive resistance in the muscles or in subtle energy. And so a lot of times then I won't necessarily needle the conventional point, but I will needle two or three points where I feel the resistance is at, or if the patient expresses pain with pressure. So these two points though, 77.09 and 77.10, are used in combination for acute stomach pain, enteritis, as well as lung and heart conditions. These points are often bled, and you can even observe blood stagnation or purple vessels at these locations for some clients. So if you find that, that is a good indication to bleed the points then. The other point that we want to talk about, we've talked about this one before in regards to the way it ties in with liver patterns. This is Minjin, stomach 43, essentially. Actually, in Master Tong's systems, it's located just posterior or proximal to stomach 43 at the junction of the second and third metatarsals. This is a very important point that I've started to add in my point prescriptions more and more, and very pleased with the results. It treats enteritis, gastritis, abdominal distension, and appendicitis. I like to use this point especially for liver overacting on stomach conditions, whether it's liver fire or liver qi stagnation, or these types of patterns where we find that the liver is adversely affecting the stomach. And the reason for this is because the location of it is, as I said, it's at the junction of the second and third metatarsals, and because of the sensitivity of this point, it's got a really strong function in moving qi as well, but also benefiting the stomach. Okay, let's take a look at the next slide. And here we see some of the points on the spleen meridian that are used in Master Tong's system. The first one is 77.17, which is the same as spleen 9. And 77.18, Shen Guan. This means kidney gate because it's such an important point for treating the kidney as well. It's located 1.5 sun below spleen 9, located precisely on the edge of the tibia. Now, these two points are paired for the treatment of excessive stomach acid. This is a standard point combination used in Master Tong's system for treating excessive stomach acid. Spleen 9 and Shen Guan 1.5 sun below it. Now, in addition to these points, we've got some similar points that are located on the spleen line and directly adjacent to the edge of the tibia. This is 77.19, which is 7 sun above the medial malleolus, and 77.21, which is 4 sun above the medial malleolus on the medial side of the tibia. Now, these 3 points, 77, 18, 19, and 21, are referred to as the three lower Huangs. They tonify the kidney and spleen and treat illnesses caused by deficiencies of the spleen and kidney. So for any sort of digestive condition where we see spleen yang deficiency or spleen and kidney yang deficiency, we would want to use these 3 points because they're benefiting both the spleen and kidney. These points are also indicated for a wide variety of urinary, digestive, and gynecological conditions. I've been using these points for many years now, and I'm greatly pleased with the results that they produce. A lot of times I will find in clinic that these are the only 3 points necessary, because in addition to treating the conditions we have mentioned here, they also treat a wide variety of other conditions. I'm not going to go into those at this point because I want to keep the discussion more or less centered around the digestive system. But just as a quick mention of some of the other functions, these points can be used for treating conditions in the small intestine meridian or situations such as back pain. And that is because of the connection between the Tai Yin and the Tai Yang. Okay, let's go ahead and take a look at the next page where we explore this Tai-Yin connection a little bit more. So we know that the spleen and the lung as a pair are referred to as the Tai-Yin, and this is an important pair to consider in many cases of digestive conditions. So on the lung meridian, we don't typically use the lung meridian for treating spleen and digestive related conditions. However, in Master Tong system, there is a point unit that you should know about. This is 22.11, or the Chinese for these points are Tu Shui, which translates as earth water. So these 3 points can be used for treating conditions where the earth is affected by water or cold. These points are located on the palmar aspect of the radial side of the first metacarpal bone, so in the region of lung 10, and in fact one of these points overlaps with lung 10. Now the first point is Wen Sun, proximal to the first metacarpal phalangeal joint. The second point, which is lung 10, is located half a sun proximal to the first, so we're going 1.5 sun proximal to the metacarpal phalangeal joint. That puts us right on lung 10. And then the third point is half a sun proximal to the second point. So we find these 3 points here being used to treat chronic stomach conditions, diarrhea, gastritis, and cold earth patterns. Now you'll notice on the right side of the page here that I've listed a point combination that we can use for the Tai Yin Yang Ming circuit. So in the Tai Yin Yang Ming circuit, we find the spleen and the lung connecting to the stomach and large intestine. So for a condition where a client has typical spleen qi deficiency, like bloating, loose stools, fatigue, this type of spleen deficiency pattern, we can often use this point combination of Tu Shui, 22.11. That's going to address the diarrhea and the cold earth pattern. We can use Ling Gu, which we've talked about, and Li-10 as it functions like stomach 36. We can use the three Huangs because these are benefiting both the spleen and the kidneys and have this effect of working with the yang and the qi energy, as well as stomach 36 and stomach 37. So this is a generalized point formula that you can use when you see these types of spleen conditions, or if you see that there is some involvement with the lung as well, because many of these points will also have an effect on the lungs. Okay, let's take a look at the next slide where we see the three Tai Yin circuits. So the first circuit here is the Tai Yin Tai Yang circuit, where we find the spleen and the lung connecting to the small intestine and the urinary bladder. Now I briefly mentioned that those three Huangs can often be used for treating conditions in the small intestine and urinary bladder channels, such as back pain or shoulder pain, and here we can start to understand why that is the case, because of the spleen's connection to the small intestine and Tai Yang channels. Now, on the just below that, we find that the Tai Yin connects to the Yang Ming. We've discussed this, and you should be familiar with this circuit by now. And the final Tai Yin circuit is the Tai Yin small intestine liver circuit. This circuit, I don't use it too often, but for conditions where the liver qi is adversely affecting the spleen and or the lungs, I like to use this point in conditions such as hepatitis. This can be a good circuit to use, as well as in situations where you find spleen and lung disharmonies occurring with shoulder pain in the area of the small intestine. And this is because the spleen and the liver meridians can be used to treat the small intestine and are very effective for shoulder pain in the area of small intestine 9 and 10. Okay, on the next slide we find the Yang Ming circuits. In the first one we find the Yang Ming connecting to the Tai Yin, which we've already discussed. And the next one, we find the Yang Ming connecting to the Jue Yin. This is a very important circuit to be used when treating numerous types of digestive patterns, especially when they are liver-related. And the final circuit here is the Yang Ming pericardium kidney circuit. This circuit is primarily used for conditions where we find a kidney deficiency. Usually it's a kidney yin deficiency that's affecting the Yang Ming organs, or in clients over the age of 40 who have kidney decline or kidney essence decline due to overwork or to age or lifestyle, and the kidney decline is affecting the Yang Ming. So this one, I very commonly use it for older clients that are overworked, overstressed, and have burned out their kidneys. Okay, let's take a look at the next slide where we find another circuit that we need to be aware of when treating spleen and earth patterns, and this is the earth-fire circuit. So here we see the spleen and the stomach connecting to the San Jiao and the pericardium. Now remember that the stomach connects to the pericardium in both system 2 and system 4, and the spleen and the San Jiao are connected because they are located opposite of the clock of one another. Now, we don't usually use San Jiao points for digestion. San Jiao 6 for constipation is well known. San Jiao 4 can be used as well. Putting moxa on San Jiao 4 can be very effective for boosting the earth element. And this is a nice little trick that I've learned from some of the five element practitioners that I've worked with. The San Jiao point of Master Tong is 11.21. This is on the finger. It functions like stomach 36. I don't use this point in clinic because, for the most part, I don't like to needle points on the finger as they're quite sensitive. And this point isn't as strong as stomach 36 either, so I don't usually needle that one. And as a reminder, this PC3-PC6 combination is essential to burn into your memory because it treats a wide variety of digestive complaints. This is one of my favorite point combinations on the Han Yin channels for treating digestive conditions. As we've talked about, we can consider in our treatments, whenever we encounter any type of condition, we can ask ourselves, well, what is the best Han Yin channel to treat this? What is the best Han Yang channel to treat this? What is the best Foot Yang channel? And what is the best Foot Yin channel? So by asking ourselves this question, it helps to build the circuit as well as simplify our treatments and the number of points that we use. So in terms of the Han Yin channels, the PC3-PC6 combination is by far the most widely used combination that I use to treat digestive symptoms because it is so effective for harmonizing the stomach and harmonizing the intestines, as well as the correspondence with the fire element and the earth. So if we need to boost the earth, we can needle the fire meridian. Okay, let's take a look at the spleen zong fu patterns. The first one is spleen qi deficiency, spleen yang deficiency, spleen blood deficiency, and then damp heat in the spleen channel. So these are the zong fu patterns that we should all be familiar with and that we will now compare, or shortly we will compare how meridian circuit systems and meridian-based approaches fit in with this. Before doing that, let's take a look at the next page and look at the stomach zong fu patterns. And here we find many of them. There's stomach heat, stomach fire, stomach damp heat, stomach phlegm fire, stomach deficiency, stomach yin deficiency, cold invading the stomach. And in a situation like this where we find cold invading the stomach, we would want to use tu shui, those points on the lung meridian, because they're useful for cold conditions in the stomach and it's also on the lung. So when cold invades the stomach, it's not uncommon to see lung symptoms as well, and in which case we can treat both the stomach and the lung by kneeling a point like tu shui. So some of the other patterns, stasis of blood in the stomach and phlegm fluids in the stomach and retention of food. Let's look at the next page here, and we'll start to get into the Zongfu patterns and how this overlaps. So the first condition is spleen qi vacuity or spleen qi deficiency. And so when we see this pattern, we can think about what meridians to use on the legs, and obviously the spleen and the stomach are the best choices for spleen qi deficiency. So we can ask ourselves again this question, which I want you to start doing this in clinic when you're not quite sure what to do or you're determining what meridian-based pattern the client has. I want you to start asking which meridians on the hands are best to choose for spleen qi deficiency. So the hand yang channels, we can ask ourselves, what is the best yang channel? Do we want to use the small intestine, the sanjiao, or the large intestine? Now, we can't just simply answer this question right now because we need to take each client in a case-by-case way. And so in some situations where a client has spleen qi deficiency, we may find it best to needle the small intestine meridian. So if they have a spinal condition back pain, then we can find that it could be useful to needle the small intestine points, small intestine 3, or some of Master Tong's points, which are located just proximal to small intestine 3. Sometimes we'd want to use the San Jiao point. If a client has spleen qi deficiency and neck pain in the San Jiao meridian, then I would select San Jiao points. If a client has typical spleen qi deficiency signs and the large intestine is affected, then most often I will use the large intestine points for treating spleen qi vacuity. Now on the yin channel, we can use the lung, the pericardium, or the heart. And even though I like that point combination of PC3 and PC6 and use that most often, there are times when I will certainly use the lung points or heart points as well. So choosing the best hand points depends not only on the pattern, and that can be the Zongfu pattern or the meridian circuit pattern, but it also depends on the patient's top three concerns. Okay, let's take a look at the next page. So when we see spleen qi deficiency in clinic, we can use essentially these three circuits, and we want to determine which one is best by the patient's top three concerns. Many times I will use the Tai Yin Yang Ming circuit, especially if the client is manifesting with lung symptoms as well. So we know that spleen qi deficiency can lead to a buildup of dampness, and the dampness can cause phlegm, and then the phlegm can reside in the lungs. So it's not uncommon in clinic to see spleen qi deficiency patterns where there are also symptoms such as shortness of breath or excessive phlegm in the lungs or in the sinuses. So in situations like this, we would use the Tai Yin Yang Ming circuit. Now, another common circuit that I'll use is the Tai Yin Tai Yang circuit. This one is to be used when we find spleen qi deficiency, and the client also has symptoms in the Tai Yang channels, such as neck pain, shoulder pain, low back pain, mid-thoracic pain, then I will very often use this circuit because of the relationship between the spleen and the Tai Yang. Now, a lot of times when I use the Tai Yin Tai Yang circuit, I may take out the small intestine points and just needle large intestine points instead, especially if the patient's top concerns are related to the digestion, because the large intestine points are usually more effective in treating the digestive conditions. However, it is common that I may needle like one small intestine point, so depending on what condition they have, I might needle small intestine 3 and then some of the large intestine points like Linggu or Da Bai. That would be a great combination of points to use for a condition of back pain, or we're using small intestine 3, Linggu and Da Bai. But this point combination can also have an effect on the digestive system. The small intestine 3 increases the yang, and Linggu and Da Bai have a strong function of moving qi in the digestion, as well as a role in increasing yang. So don't be afraid to take out one of the meridians in these circuits if you can substitute it for a better meridian. Now the final circuit that we can use here for treating spleen qi vacuity is the earth-fire circuit, where we see the spleen and the stomach connecting to the sanjiao and the pericardium. If you're using a five-element approach, this is probably going to be the preferred one to use. And we've talked about how a point like sanjiao 4 can be used for increasing the spleen qi and spleen yang by putting moxa on that point. And the PC3-PC6 combination draws on the fire meridian of the pericardium to benefit the spleen and the stomach as well. So any of these circuits can be used, and this is always going to be determined in a case-by-case way depending on the client's top three concerns. So for the client that manifests with spleen qi deficiency but also has shen disturbance or something like anxiety, then perhaps the best circuit to use here would be the earth-fire circuit. Okay, let's take a look at the next page, where we see two case studies here. And in both of these, we find that the main complaint was abdominal bloating, pain, and loose stools. Now, from a TCM perspective, a lot of times they'll just take the top concern and then ask 10 questions to determine what the TCM Zongfu pattern is. And it's possible then that you could use the same point combinations for treating both of these clients. But this, again, demonstrates why it's so important to ask the patient about their top three concerns and then bring in the use of the meridian circuits to select the major points that are going to address not only their primary concern, but their top three concerns. So when you bring this to the client's attention, their top three concerns, and you're treating them in this way, it very commonly happens that the client will get benefit not only with the primary concern, but with the secondary or tertiary complaint, and then they're even that much more happy with the results and are more likely to become long-term patients as well and refer you. So begin immediately by asking about the top three concerns, regardless of what form of diagnosis and treatment you are doing. So in both of these cases, we notice that they have entirely different secondary concerns. In the first case, the client had fatigue, and in the third complaint, we find bronchitis with phlegm and coughing. So whenever I see these abdominal conditions or symptoms occurring with lung symptoms in the patient's top three concerns, I'm always thinking of the tie-in. That should be an immediate recognition when you see digestive and lung conditions occurring together. In the second case, we find that the client had the main complaint of abdominal pain, bloating, and loose stools, a secondary concern of neck pain in the area of Sanjiao 16, and a third complaint of insomnia. Now, if we look at the TCM pattern closer here, we find that the first one had spleen qi vacuity and lung phlegm, and the second client had spleen qi deficiency and heart blood vacuity. Now, as we ask about the top three concerns, this helps us to more clearly define the Zongfu pattern that is present. It is possible that if we would have only asked about the primary concern and did 10 questions, we may not have found the deeper underlying conditions of lung phlegm and heart blood vacuity. Now, certainly a good clinician should pick up on those. However, by simply asking about the top three concerns, it makes it a lot easier to see deeper into complex patterns. Let's take a look at the next page, where we find a point prescription for the first client that had spleen qi vacuity and lung phlegm. So we've decided to use the Tai Yin Yang Ming circuit. The points that I used were Ling Gu and Li 10. This point combination increases and strengthens the qi. We used Lung 5 and Lung 7. Lung 5 is the water point on the middle meridian, so we can reduce the water and phlegm that way. Lung 7 to disperse the lung qi. Spleen 3 and spleen 9 to help treat the dampness as well as strengthen the spleen. And stomach 36 and stomach 40 for resolving the phlegm. So a very straightforward point combination here, and I think you can clearly see how this addresses their top three concerns. And on the next page, we find the point combination for the client that had spleen qi vacuity and heart blood vacuity, with the top three concerns being abdominal pain, neck pain, and insomnia. So on the Sanjiao meridian, we use Sanjiao 3 and Sanjiao 5. Both of these points are indicated for neck pain, especially when it's in the Sanjiao meridian. Sanjiao 3 is located at the distal area of the metacarpal bones. And remember that this area corresponds to the neck. So Sanjiao 3 was selected, as well as Sanjiao 5, PC6 and PC7 to help build the blood and treat the insomnia, which was the patient's third concern. And we've added stomach 36 and stomach 42 and spleen 3 and spleen 6. So I think this demonstration here will clearly allow you to see why it's so important to ask the patient about their top three concerns and use the meridian circuits to get more clarity on what meridians will best serve the client. Okay, let's look at a final circuit that can be used for treating spleen qi vacuity. And this isn't a typical circuit. This is just simply the connection that the stomach has with its connecting meridians. But notice here in this circuit that we find 1 foot yin meridian. This is the spleen. We find 1 foot yang channel, which is the stomach. We find the pericardium here, which is the hand yin meridian, and the hand yang meridian is represented by the large intestine. So these meridians right here are really some of the best meridians that we can use for treating a large variety of spleen and stomach patterns. You could even use this for liver patterns, such as liver qi stagnation, because the pericardium points can help to resolve liver qi as well as the large intestine. So this point combination here, I widely use it, and it may even be either the most commonly used or second or third most commonly used circuit that I use for treating digestive concerns. The yangming contains abundant qi and blood, as we know. The pericardium harmonizes the stomach intestine. The spleen strengthens the spleen and can be used for treating kidney-related conditions as well by using the three huang points. So this is a superior circuit. Commit it to your memory, and you will find that you can start using it immediately in clinic. Let's look at just a general point combination that we can use using this circuit. We've used the PC3-PC6 combination. We've used Ling Gu and large intestine 10, spleen 4 and spleen 9, and stomach 36 and stomach 37. So let's go ahead and take a look at the next page where we find spleen yang vacuity. Now, whenever we see spleen yang vacuity, we should also consider if the kidney is involved or not. So very often it will be. And in either pattern, whether it's spleen yang vacuity or spleen and kidney yang vacuity, we want to think about using the three huangs since they are on the spleen meridian and tonify both the spleen and kidney yang. Let's take a look at the next page where we see how the kidney connects into this as a circuit. Now, it's really important to get used to building these circuits. Scratch them in your clinical notes, write them down as you're doing your intakes, because these are very simple diagrams to understand and to be able to write. But one thing that I need to bring to your attention here is that these diagrams go a long way in explaining the physiology of Chinese medicine. They can explain the etiology and the pathology as well. So when you're writing these down in your clinical notes, it can help you to see deeper into the patterns that are occurring, into the complexes, into the pathogenic processes that happen within the body. So get used to writing these things down, because they'll greatly assist you in your overall skills. So if we look at this one, we see that the kidney connects down here in the bottom. It connects to the Sanjiao and the pericardium both. So we find the line of connections here. Now, if we start at the kidney, we know that the kidney yang is the essential base yang of the body. And we also know that the kidney yang moves through the Sanjiao and then goes to the spleen and up to the heart as well. So we find this this theory that we have in Chinese medicine, we find this clearly represented within our diagram here, where the kidney and Sanjiao and spleen are all connected. So when spleen patterns occur with kidney signs and symptoms, we need to determine the best approach to take. And this particularly applies to the selection of the hand channels. So in spleen and kidney related conditions, we want to consider what hand channels we should be using as part of the treatment, because the foot channels are typically easier to select. Now this circuit should be used when the patient presents with a spleen pattern, fire vacuity, or yang vacuity, Sanjiao and pericardium symptoms, so problems in the channels there. It could be carpal tunnel or neck pain in the Sanjiao, or whatever it may be where those meridians are affected. And we also can use this circuit for kidney deficiency. Okay, let's take a look at the next page here, where we find another connection that the spleen and kidney have, but by way of different meridians. So this is related to spleen yang and the kidneys, where we find the spleen and the stomach connecting to the lung and large intestine, and the lung and large intestine connect to the water meridians of the urinary bladder and kidney. So isn't this interesting to note, where the diagrams that we can build by connecting the meridians, it corresponds to the physiology, and we find that this one in particular shows the five element cycle. So we've got the spleen in the stomach, and that's moving down to the metal element, and then the metal element moves to the water. So again, we find that so much of Chinese medicine theory and physiology can be easily represented in these graphs. And so for that reason, start writing them down, because when you're doing this as part of your intakes, you'll start to find some missing links that can easily be overlooked or forgotten about. Now, this circuit is to be used when the spleen and kidney yang vacuity are occurring with conditions of the spine, the back, the urinary bladder, the lungs, or the large intestine. This is a very commonly used circuit in clinic. I would say that I use it on a weekly basis at least, if not every other day. Okay, let's take a look at the next page, where we find a case study. This was a woman, 37 years old. Her primary concern was excessive weight with edema, secondary concern of heart disease and high cholesterol, and a third concern of IBS with diarrhea. The TCM pattern was spleen and kidney yang vacuity. So we can ask ourselves, well, what circuit do we want to use with this? And this is an important question, because it helps us to best select the points. So let's take a look at the next page to see our point prescription here. We used PC3 and PC6 because she had the heart condition that was of concern to her, and the IBS as well. So the PC3 and PC6, it helps to harmonize and smooth the intestines, and it treats heart-related conditions as well. So this was helping with her secondary and tertiary concerns. On the Sanjiao meridian, I used Master Tong's points 33.05 and 33.06. Remember that 33.05 is Tusun proximal to Sanjiao 6, and 33.06 is Tusun proximal to that point. So these points are 5 Sun proximal to the wrist crease and 7 Sun proximal to the wrist crease. And these points, again, you should remember from the heart presentation that we've already done, that these points treat heart disease. We also use the three huangs. Remember that three huangs benefit the spleen and kidney both, and are useful for dampness and edema, which was part of her primary concern. stomach 36 and stomach 37 were used on the stomach meridian and are useful for IBS with diarrhea, as well as excessive weight and edema. So if you haven't noticed already, this is the earth fire circuit where we have used the pericardium, sanjiao, stomach, and spleen. And again, notice how this point prescription takes care of her top three concerns and also makes use of the TCM pattern that was present, spleen and kidney yang vacuity, and we also find a five element approach in here. So by doing this system of acupuncture where we're using meridian systems, we're easily able to account for Zongfu patterns, meridian-based patterns, and five-element approaches as well, in which this case so eloquently demonstrates. Okay, on the next page, we find another case study here where we use the other circuit where the spleen, yang, and the kidney are both affected. And this is a man who is 33 years old. He had chronic diarrhea happening 7 to 20 times a day. This guy was an absolute really struggling with his condition. He had had this for years. It was interfering with his life, his ability to have relationships and hold down a job. And just in so many ways, this was affecting him. The secondary concern was depression that was related to the primary concern. And the third concern was back pain. So very clearly able to see, even from the top three concerns, how this can be a spleen and kidney yang vacuity. I won't go into all the other symptoms that were present because top three are enough. He also did have numerous other lung symptoms, though, which is important to mention, and a history of shortness of breath, and we can see how that connects to the depression as well. A lot of times, clients that have depression will have some sort of imbalance in the spleen, lung, and kidney, and so this can be a good circuit to use for that. So the TCM pattern, as we've said, was spleen and kidney yang vacuity. Let's go ahead and take a look at the next page to see the point prescription that we used here. Linggu and Li10. Linggu, as you should remember, it helps to strengthen the kidney yang and resolve back pain as well. Li10 was used because it functions like stomach 36. We used Tu Shui on the lung meridian 22.11 because it treats cold patterns and also diarrhea. Stomach 36 and stomach 37 were used, and the three wangs. So the three wangs are those points on the spleen meridian that treat spleen and kidney yang deficiency. Now, in a case like this, it's also important to use herbs as well. So herbs were prescribed and absolutely essential. In China, where I've taken many courses and have taken people there to study as well, it's very common, and most of the time in clinic, they're using herbs to treat digestive concerns. So if you go to China or if you've been there, then you'll find that if you want to study digestive conditions, you'll end up in internal medicine and be using herbs to treat those conditions. So if you're not already doing so, be using herbs with the digestive conditions. Okay, let's look at the next pattern here, which is spleen blood vacuity. And this one's really simple and straightforward. This stomach circuit is the main one to use. We're using the spleen and the stomach. Obviously, they need to be in the treatment for spleen blood vacuity. The pericardium is one of the best hand yin channels to use. We could be using the heart, like heart 7, of course, is commonly known, but I like this PC combination because of the way that it connects to the stomach and the intestines. And the large intestine meridian is also in here because of the yang ming and the way that they connect to qi and blood. So the point combination for spleen blood vacuity, PC6, heart 7, linggu, Li10, spleen 6, spleen 10, stomach 36, and stomach 42. Now in this situation, and just as a general point prescription, I may not always use PC3 and PC6 for the blood vacuity. I go ahead and put a heart point in there. It's functioning the same, and in this way I'm drawing from the use of TCM point energetics and incorporating this into meridian-based approaches. So PC6 and PC7 benefit the blood, linggu and Li10 strengthen the qi, as do stomach 36 and 42, and spleen 6 and spleen 10 benefit the blood. Okay, next point, spleen damp heat. Generally, the Tai Yin Yang Ming circuit will be used. This may not always be the case, but typically this can be useful because remember that the lung plays an important role in water metabolism by moving it down to the urinary bladder. So in some cases, it will be best to use the earth fire circuit, though, because the San Jiao can be used for clearing heat and dampness. And if a client has spleen damp heat with nausea or vomiting, which can sometimes happen, then we'd want to use the pericardium points. So be sure to ask about the top three concerns so that you can understand what organs or meridians are most out of balance. Let's go ahead and take a look at a point combination for spleen damp heat using the Tai Yin Yang Ming circuit. We're using Li4 and Li11. Those are both clearing dampness and heat. Tu Shui helps with the diarrhea and the dampness. Stomach 36 and stomach 44 to clear the heat. Spleen 3, spleen 9. Quite straightforward. And let's go ahead and look at the next slide, which are our stomach Zongfu patterns. Let's just quickly review these before going much further here. We're not going to cover each of these as we've done with the spleen. Instead, we're going to take a different approach as we look at these patterns. So the first one, stomach heat and stomach fire, stomach damp heat, stomach phlegm fire, stomach deficiency, stomach yin deficiency, cold invading the stomach, stasis of blood in the stomach, phlegm fluids in the stomach, retention of food. Now I remember as a student and in my early years of practice, I found it quite difficult to remember all the signs and symptoms of these various Zongfu patterns. And as I've got more and more experience, I've learned that it's not so essential to remember all of the symptoms that define these patterns. What's more important is to look at the patient's top three concerns and move from there. Of course, you still want to do your tongue and pulse diagnosis as well. But when we use these meridian-based approaches, then it helps to fill in the blanks of recognizing complex patterns in clinic and coming to a more complete and accurate diagnosis. So use the meridian circuit systems to just get more efficiency all the way around in your clinical skills. Okay, next page then we find the stomach circuit of the Yang Ming Tai Yin circuit. We've seen this circuit represented in numerous ways in the way that it can be used for treating various conditions. In the context of stomach patterns, though, we can use it for stomach heat or stomach fire, especially if it's an external related condition. So if it's not chronic, if it's acute, then the lung and large intestine can be helpful. And a lot of times if a patient has an acute stomach condition that comes from an external pathogen, then lung and large intestine points are helpful for that. Stomach damp heat can be treated with this, as well as stomach phlegm fire, because a lot of times the phlegm will go to the lungs. Stomach vacuity, stomach yin vacuity, stomach cold could be treated with this. Stomach blood stasis, phlegm fluids in the stomach, retention of food. So notice here that we can use it for both heat or cold conditions, and our needle technique or the use of moxa will dictate whether we are treating coldness or heat. Now, from a five-element perspective, another thing we should mention is that we can drain the metal to reduce the earth. So for any of the excessive earth patterns or the excessive stomach patterns, we can reduce the metal to reduce the earth. As I've mentioned, a lot of times I will substitute the lung meridian for the pericardium instead. So the only exception to this is when lung symptoms are also present in the client's top three concerns, or if there is a need to use points like Tu Shui. So this Yang Ming Tai Yin circuit, very important, but don't be afraid to substitute the lung points for the pericardium points if necessary. And on the next page, we find the Yang Ming Jui Yin circuit, one of the most commonly used circuits for treating digestive conditions, because as we know from our clinical experience, the liver is so often involved in digestive conditions. And essentially, we've been talking about asking ourselves on a regular basis, what is the best foot yin channel to use when treating any type of condition. Likely we would use the spleen for spleen-related conditions. However, if the liver qi is involved in any way, we may want to use the liver meridian instead and rely on the stomach and large intestine points and even the pericardium points to strengthen the spleen. So we've already talked about some of this in the liver patterns. Let's now just look at what stomach patterns we can use this circuit for. We can use it for stomach heat or stomach fire, especially if that heat or fire is coming from the liver, then we'd want to use this circuit. We can use it for stomach damp heat. One of the symptoms of stomach damp heat is nausea and or vomiting. So the use of the pericardium points is essential for that, and it also helps to clear heat because it is a fire meridian. We can use it for stomach phlegm fire. The pericardium also helps to treat phlegm and reduce the fire. Stomach 40, of course, can be used, and the large intestine and liver are important for treating phlegm because they move qi. This is an important circuit for stomach blood stasis, liver fire attacking the stomach, and digestive patterns related to Shen disturbance. So if there's anything like anxiety or stress or any sort of Shen disturbance that is affecting the digestion, this is usually the circuit I will use. And we can also use it for stomach yin vacuity as well. And the next circuit here, we find the Yongming kidney pericardium circuit. It can be useful for stomach heat or stomach fire, especially if that heat or fire is coming from a kidney yin deficiency. So we've got two different possibilities here with stomach heat and fire, or excuse me, three different possibilities. We can have stomach heat and fire coming from an external pathogen, in which case we would most likely use the Yongming Tai Yin circuit. Now, if the stomach heat and fire is coming from the liver, then we'd want to use the Yongming Jue Yin circuit. If the stomach heat or fire is coming from a underlying kidney yin deficiency, then we'd want to use the Yongming pericardium kidney circuit. This can also be used for stomach deficiency, stomach yin vacuity. Again, that's connecting to the kidney. We could use it for cold invading the stomach in certain situations. If the kidney yang is low, then this could be a possibility. And we're using the pericardium to strengthen the fire in a situation like this. And we could also use it for phlegm fluids in the stomach, especially if this is related to a deficiency in the kidney qi or in the kidney yang. So very important circuit to be using when you find yang ming conditions and symptoms that are ultimately rooted in a kidney pattern. Okay, and on the next page, we find a couple other stomach circuits. We've already talked about the earth-fire circuit, where we find the stomach and the spleen connecting the pericardium and San Jiao. It's useful when stomach patterns occur with chest or heart signs and symptoms. So I like this one for stomach blood stasis. And it's not uncommon, I see this quite regularly in clinic, where a client has a heart condition that's resulted from years of overeating or is in some way connected to the digestive system as well, where you see heart problems and constipation occurring together. This is quite common. We could use this circuit for a situation like that. And on the other side of the page here, we find a modified circuit that we can use to treat conditions where there's kidney yin vacuity or empty heat. So we find the stomach and the pericardium, the San Jiao, and the kidney. So get used to playing with these meridian connections like this, because in clinic you'll find that, of course, people don't always fit into the boxes of the theories that we have. And when you start writing down the meridians next to their top three concerns and taking an approach like this, you'll start to find these interesting circuits like this one emerge. So again, this one can be used for kidney yin vacuity, so we needle points like kidney 3 and kidney 6 to supplement the yin. The empty heat can be treated with the San Jiao, and the pericardium, of course, connects to the fire, and the stomach would strengthen and have an effect on the stomach channel. So this could be used, again, for a wide variety of stomach-based patterns, and this would be determined by the patient's top three concerns if we'd want to use this circuit over one of the other ones. Okay, let's take a look at the next page, which is the summary here. When working with the meridian circuit systems approach, we seek to integrate Zongfu and five elements with the channel connections. Now, this will naturally happen, and when you're asking about the patient's top three concerns, and you're looking at the meridian connections and the circuit systems, then you'll find that most often, naturally, the Zongfu and five element approaches will naturally integrate with your choice of circuits to use in the treatment and in the pattern identification. The second point here is that we can utilize the technique of asking the client about their top three concerns as a way to guide us in determining the most appropriate patterns and meridians to work with. And finally, we can utilize unilateral needling, meaning that we're needling the points on one side only and determine what are the best channels to use on each limb. So we've talked about questioning ourselves as we do our meridian selections about what foot yin channel is the best one to use, what foot yang channel is the best to use, what is the best hand yin channel to use, and what is the best hand yang channel to use. So get used to using this simple technique to help you build the circuits and to help you determine the meridians that will produce the best results based on their top three concerns. So this concludes this section. In the next one, we will be covering lung patterns.